Take your Bibles tonight in the book of John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1 in the book this evening. I want to read verses 6 through 14, and I want to look tonight just for a little bit on verses 12 and 13. And I've not yet decided what kind of series I want to do next on Wednesday nights or Book of the Bible, so if you have any questions or comments or suggestions, or at least pray for that, as we, I have some thoughts, but if there's a topic you're interested in, I'd be happy to listen to suggestions. So, John chapter 1, tonight, verse number 6, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Father, tonight, thank you for your book. Thank you tonight for these words, Lord. And Father, I'm glad tonight that we can become, Lord, the sons of God. And what a blessing that that is. Now, Lord, tonight, I pray that you would take the words tonight and the verses this evening, and help us make application, Father. Instruct us, encourage us, we ask tonight in your name to pray. Amen. Let me just give you a little bit of introduction here, just by just a little bit of talk tonight as a pastor to a church family. And sure do, again, love the what the Lord's doing in our church. I want to warn you again tonight that we are in the process of seeing a lot of changes in our church. Not all, and by the way, they're not bad, you know, but I've been here now 33 years. And right, I've been here, I think, about 14 years or so. And anyway, the church has shifted a little bit, and we've seen some changes, people moving, and not really, we'd be surprised that there's not been very many folks that have left our church mad, but a couple here and there, but a lot of folks that have left because of moving or occupations or jobs, things like that. And so we're seeing some things change there. We're seeing some young folks that grew up in our church begin to become leaders in our church, and that, as a pastor, that's a blessing to see that take place and that happen. And of course, this in a few months, Lord willing, we'll be starting that chapel ministry downtown, and that's going to bring a little more change to our church as well. And I just want to remind you that in the midst of changing, sometimes people get a little bit antsy, and I feel a bit unsettled because I'm not a guy that I like to do different things, but I'm not real good on big on change. I think if you move from our church, I think it's always out of God's will. And God would never leave you to lead you to move away and not be part of the old past. And so I say that kind of jokingly, but I hate to see people leave, and especially after you get to love them and become the part of their family. And so I always miss them. But anyway, some things that we're not changing. We're not changing Bibles. Amen. Not changing Bibles. Okay, it's still going to be the King James Bible, and not changing that. The day we change that, either I'll resign or you'll fire me, one of the two. And anyway, we're not changing Bibles. We're not changing doctrine. Okay. Now again, we're going to be involved in a ministry that's going to bring some different things in our church and different styles, different things. And so we're not changing doctrines. And we're not. By the way, we're not changing music. And so to remind us of that. And listen, I think that sometimes our church can. I think sometimes our music, and I'm not criticizing, it can be a little flat at times. You know, we get come tired, and sometimes we're not singing, and our mind's kind of somewhere else, you know. I think that our music could be, have more, it's okay to show emotion and praise while you're singing, right? So that's okay. And so sometimes our music can be a little more exciting, a little more upbeat would be fine with me, as long as it's not, you know, jazzy or rocky or country. I don't want that kind of influence, but it's okay to be excited about serving God and worshiping. And of course, you know, we're not going to go to the CCM route. And, you know, there's a couple songs in our songbook, you know, that, you know, a little bit different, but, you know, we're going to sing those songs. But, you know, by and large, I enjoy our people that are singing, and I love our groups that are coming up and singing. And just be sure that if you ever choose a CCM song, the answer is no. And, you know, if it's written by a CCM artist, most likely it's going to be no. And so just, we're not changing going that direction. We're not changing dress standards. You know, I know some folks don't like that. And I know it's legalistic, and I know I'm cultish when I say those things. And, you know, my Amish roots are showing, and I get that, you know, and I'm narrow-minded and mean-spirited and hate women. I know all those. I've been accused of all those things before. And, I'm okay. I go home and my wife loves me. As long as she loves me and God's leading the right direction, I'm okay with folks being mad. And, I've not got to the point yet where I scream, I don't care. I'm not gonna change my position on how men should dress and how women should dress and long hair and short hair and dresses and skirts and culottes and length and modesty. I'm not changing those. I'm going to be the same way until the day I die. You say, are you mad? I'm not mad at anybody. And you can dress the way you want to dress, by the way. And I'm not going to be mad at you. I ain't going to think bad of you. I ain't going to criticize you. You're part of my family, and I'm going to love you. But it's not going to change the way I believe or the way I preach. And I want to preach like a gentleman. And, you know, I've heard people get from the pulpit and rip women. If you have a pair of pants on, you're a hussy. And I don't preach that way. I hope I don't come across that way. And I'm not going to do that, but I'm not going to change the way I believe and my convictions. And sometimes as things change, we get pushed a little bit, and we get pushed. And every now and then I feel some bumps along the way, and I'm big enough not to be moved too easily. But I just want you to know that we're not changing that direction. I don't mean it to be unkind. I don't mean that to sound like it's a threat, an ultimatum. I'm just not changing that direction. So I don't like that. Well, then vote me out and get somebody else in here then, because I'm not going to change that direction. And so we're not changing those things as we minister. We're going to be an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing church that loves the Lord and loves following after Him in faith and righteousness and holiness. Going to preach that, live, and try to live the best. And by the way, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody or holy, because I got my own issues and my own problems. If you don't believe me, ask my wife, and if she's too kind to tell you, ask my boys. And if you pay them a little bit of money, they might tell you some more stuff. And just don't offer any money to Gabby, because she might take it. So, money or food, she might could tell you some secrets. And anyway, we love her. But I just want you to know, as we face some things and serve God and just encounter new people and different things that the world is going, our world is rapidly changing around us. And I just want you to know that much as I love our church, I love God more than I love you. And I love His Word more than I love you. And I feel as a pastor that whether you agree with everything I say or not, I've got to stand where God has told me in my heart and His Word where to stand. You won't have to listen. You won't answer for me preaching. But I will. And you won't answer where I compromise. But I will. And to me, that's an awful thing to have to think about where I stand. I'm not going to answer to Dubuque, the folks in Dubuque. I'm not going to answer to any other pastor. I'm going to answer to God Almighty. And so I just encourage you tonight, even if you don't agree with the things I say, sometimes in the pulpit, just smile and keep your mouth shut. Sure. If it's Scripture, and I'm using Bible behind it, well, here's what happens, and I don't know why I'm saying this tonight. It's not in my notes. But what happens is if you criticize it and you badmouth it, they'll teach your young folks to criticize everything they don't agree with either. Right. All of a sudden, things that you agree with and things that you think is true, your young folks will say, well, I don't believe that. That doesn't apply to me. Right. And that's the reason sometimes why, not in this place, but other places, why we see churches shifting, because parents for so many years have badmouthed the preaching and the preacher and the words that come across the pulpit. So when the young folks get to be a certain age, they say, well, if mom and dad criticize it, then I can criticize this too. And so they just be very careful of that. And again, sometimes I say things I don't agree with. And I just want to see your reaction every now and then. Some of you are very expressive, and I appreciate that, because either it kind of goads me on a little bit. As I goad you, you goad me, and we have a good time doing that back and forth. And but that being said, I just want you to know that I'm not against. Listen, I love our church. I love our church family. I really do. And there's not a bit of malice in my heart up to anybody this evening. And tonight, I don't care if somebody comes in tonight wearing a pair of shorts and their face looks like they fell in a tackle box. And they got tattoos up and down their arms and legs. We're going to love them and lead them to the Lord and try to help them out. But I do think that Christians ought to live a certain way. And we'll talk about that a little bit tonight. But we're not, there's some things I just want you to know that we're not changing. We're going to continue to be involved in ministry and missions. And I'd encourage you not to get involved in those things. Even if you don't always agree, get involved in some of the things that we do in our church. Get involved in the services. Don't come to be a spectator. Come to participate. I mean, get involved. Sing in the song service and pray and shout amen and just be excited about the services. Get involved in the choir. We had two young folks joined the choir this past week. Well, two younger people anyway. I shouldn't say too young, but anyway, that's exciting. And so get involved in the choir. Sing in the choir. Sing special music. We have a program called King's Kids. And I'd encourage you, if you're in that age group, to get involved in King's Kids. And I'm not real big sometimes on separating families, but I think King's Kids is a good opportunity for kids to get involved and memorize a lot of Scripture if they go through the program. And it's a good program. And so I'd encourage you, if you got young kids that age, get them involved in King's Kids. And let them learn their Scriptures. It'll be a help to them, get the Word of God in their heart. Get involved in Action Teens. If you're a teenager tonight, I really believe, and listen, you parents can do what you want to do. That's your children. I'm not their parent, and I'm not going to be a cult leader of your house. But I think Brother Dustin does a great job doing Acts and Teens. He preaches solid biblical principles to young people. And I think it'd be good for young folks to get involved in Acts and Teens and get downstairs and be, you know, come, figure out a way how you can get your children, your young people, involved in Action Teams and King's Kids. That means you gotta, you know, with our children, and I know that we're different, but my boys never had a choice. Never had a choice. You're going to Action Teams, you're going to King's Kids, you're going to Action Teams, and we never use it as a punishment saying that you can't go because you're bad. No, we wanted them involved in church things, learning the Bible and preaching. Tom Porter did a great job while he was here doing Action Teams with projects and ministries and soul winning and games and preaching. And so my boys are always involved in they didn't have a choice. We're going to Action Teams. And so we'd have to come early and sit upstairs and talk and fellowship with other people as they're in Action Teams. But I just encourage you to get involved in those ministries, get involved in soul winning. And it's amazing, and I don't mean this to be tongue-in-cheek or to be critical. It's amazing how many folks want a church that, we want a church that has all these things, but they never get involved. And if I come tonight and said, hey, we're going to stop soul winning, we're going to stop the choir ministry, we're going to stop, all we're going to have is a Sunday morning service, it's all we're going to have in our church, there'd be a few folks that get upset and get mad and leave, right? But then some of those same folks won't get involved in things that we're doing anyway. You know, I said, if we're going to stop missions fund, that might upset a few folks if we're not going to get the missions. But then the same folks that are upset about it don't give anything to missions. And so, listen, you live your life as God leads you, but we're going to be the same kind of church we've always been and lead folks in the same kind of way we... Listen, I said there's not room for us to get better, okay? Our choir can be better. And it needs a better song director. That's what it needs, a better choir director. That's what it needs. Our singing sometimes can improve. Our service, I can be a better preacher. We can get better in different ways. But as far as direction, we're not changing direction. Does that make sense to you? And so if you want to change direction, I'm preaching to the choir now because you're here tonight for a certain reason. So I'm not worried about you all changing direction. But if you ever have a thought about it, then let me know. And either like, okay, perhaps you need to get gone because you're old and stuck in your ways and you aren't useless. And I'll go and be an evangelist to the pygmies and somewhere. or you're going to have to find a church that you feel there's plenty to choose from in Dubuque that has all kinds of flavors. I don't mean it to be unkind or mean to anybody. I'm just happy with what we're doing, and I don't like change, but I like serving God and seeing God bless and seeing people saved, and that's my heart. See people saved. So that makes sense to you tonight. I'm not trying to be unkind, but I just want to give notice. If you think we're going to change a few things in our church, I want to improve. I want to worship correctly and serve God. But as far as direction, it's going to be the same old Paz Baptist Church we've always been, and the same old Bible, same music, same songs. And so that's direction. Same. Look at me at verse number 12 and 13 again. Here we see the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that call believe on his name, which were born out of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I want you to notice tonight, I'm just blessed tonight, is that phrase, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That word power there is also the word authority. He gave us the authority, the right, the permission to become the sons of God. I want you to notice tonight, the requirements to becoming a son of God. What are the requirements? Now, religion doesn't make a person son of God. We read in John chapter 8, and if we were to go turn there tonight, I won't for sake of time turn there, but in John chapter 8, 42 through 45, Jesus Christ was talking to the Jews. He's telling them about who he is, and he makes a statement. He says that you are not of the Father, the father of Abraham, but you're the father, but your father is the devil. And had you been a father of Abraham, you'd have believed me and worshiped me, but you don't believe because you're not on the same father. And so you can be religious and have religion and not be a child of God, son of God. And so we find tonight that not everyone has God as their father. What's the requirement for God to be your father, to be a son of God? What's the requirement? Well, you find in verse 12, it says, but as many as what? Received him. Received him. Now, that word means to take in, to accept. And it's not just consenting that Jesus Christ is God. That's part of it. But receiving him is taking all of him. Taking all of him. I'm afraid tonight that in our country tonight, among even good religious people, we are trying to fashion a God after our very own image. We want to make Christ Christ for many folks to become an idol, because he's not the Christ of the Bible. He's the Christ that we have designed and made up, and to try to form in our own image, after our own likeness, after our own preferences. And the Bible says if you're going to become a son of God, you have to receive him who he is, as he is. All of him. You just can't say, well, I just want the salvation part, but not the holiness part. Or I want the benefits, but I want the responsibilities. No, you have to take all of him. And just repeat, and I know it's going to be Fortnite, so I'm preaching again to the choir, and but it's good to sometimes repetition. Just repeating a prayer after somebody doesn't make you saved. I'm afraid too many people in our churches have repeated the prayer because somebody told them to say a prayer and they never got truly converted. So now time we have deacons and Sunday school teachers and church members who've never been saved, religious. God's not their father. You got to receive him. Receive him. All of him. Take him up not just as you are, but just as he is. You can't change him. You can't make him. You know, today we want to make everything, you know, we want to take everything that we like as carnal people and put Christian to it. Well, you know, we want Christian rap and Christian this and Christian that. And some of that stuff is so far from being Christian and godly and Christ-like. I don't see Christ living that way. I don't think that just because in 2022 it's normal that Christ would say, okay, that's the way, I don't think that he would live that way if he were on the earth today. I don't think he would take some of our worldliness and our carnality and all that junk and vile wickedness and say, let's just put a Christian tint to it and call it Christ like a Christian. No, he's holy. And so, Richard, how do you know that he wouldn't do that? Because he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he hated yesterday in the Old Testament, he hates today. What he loves in the Old Testament, what he loved from the very beginning, he's not changed one iota. The Bible says there is not one shadow of turning in him. Not one degree of turning a change in him. We've changed. America's changed. But God's not changed. Not one iota, not one bit. He's still the same. Thank God. Listen, thank God for that. Listen, if God could change, we'd be in a mess. We've been a mess. You know, sometimes, you know, my wife gets up not knowing what kind of mood I'm going to be in. Right? Just like your wife or your husband. Like, well, I don't know what kind of mood he's going to be in today. Maybe when you come home from work, it's like, you know, every now and then my wife will call me and she'll say, are you in a good mood? That's a scary question. Because usually I think, okay, what's happened? Is the Prius still in one piece? It wouldn't take much for that thing to blow up, you know, this, you know, hit a twig on the sidewalk and the thing's going to, you know, be totaled. And, you know, it runs good and it gets good gas mileage. I'm, you know, some of you getting, you know, 14 miles a gallon, I'm chugging out 50. You know, so let's laugh to the bank, you know, that way. But anyway, we don't always know what kind of mood we're going to be in. And that's sometimes, if you're not in a very good marriage relationship, that's sometimes very frightening. But we don't have to always, we don't ever have to guess how God's going to be. He's faithful. And because of that, I know I'm saved and sealed and secure. I know that He loves me because He is doesn't depend upon me or the condition of our country or what the Democrats do or Republicans do. It doesn't depend on that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I can know I'm saved. I can know that heaven is real. He's going to fulfill His promise. I can know what He likes, what He doesn't like. And I can know that if I'm pleasing Him or not pleasing Him, I can know His will because He never changes. He's not moody. Not given the change. Thank God for that. So we've got to receive all of Him. All of Him. Then it says in verse number 12 again, it says that we have to also believe on Him. Believe on His name. Acts 4:12 says that there is neither salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. People, you know, try to say that we're narrow-minded, but the Bible's narrow-minded. The Bible's the narrow way. Hey, it's Christ that said, you can't come to the Father but by me. He said that He was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man could come to the Father but by Him. And so, when it comes to salvation, we just can't lay down and say, well, it doesn't matter what people believe. It does matter. You've got to believe on Him. And by the way, some of you young folks, look up here now. Any time to pray or read your text or whatever, look up here for a second. You better decide right now that I'm not going to get involved. Any boy or girl doesn't believe the book. It's not saved. You say, well, that's your preference. No, that's God's Word. And in that preference, that's supposed to be conviction. It bothers me tonight that our young folks are chasing worldly friends down and getting them all worldly people because it doesn't matter to them if they're not. Listen, it should matter if they're saved or not. It should matter. It shouldn't be an option. Unsaved person, not an option. Sorry. I can be kind to you, and I can be Christ-like, but I ain't getting hooked up with you. Yeah. If they don't believe, by the way, why would you want to get hooked up with an unbeliever? You got a witness to them. They're going to hell. Why would you want to raise your kids with an unbeliever? It doesn't make sense to me. I get boiled up a little bit about that business. It angers me that, when we raise children, they're a living soul. And you can decide what you want to do, but you're going to raise a child for heaven or for hell. No, I can't get saved from my children, but I don't want to raise them for hell. This idea of parents say, well, I'm just going to raise my kids and let them choose. Well, you're an idiot. If I threw out some snakes out there, would you choose whether I'm play with them or not? If I put across the counter some poison and some Kool-Aid and some soda, well, it's their choice. You'd say, preacher, that's dumb. Well, so let them choose whether they want to go to hell, whether they want to learn about the, you got to raise them in the admonition of the Lord, the Bible says. They're a living soul. Anyway, that's all a freebie tonight. I don't know why I'm getting down that road, but anyway, a few looks kind of egg me on us here and there. And so I'd encourage you to pay attention. This idea, well, I just get tired of seeing our young folks just go the wrong direction. I'm not mad at you young people. I'm really not. One of your greatest friends tonight in this church is me. I'm not bragging tonight, but our family, the adults in our church and our parents and our grandparents and our deacons, we don't have any deacons, we love you. And I know this is not proper in the world today. And I know that we're called cultish and odd, and we're called out of touch, and we're called dangerous, and those fundamentalists. I'm going to tell you something. Heaven and hell hang in the balance. And your soul is worth more than popularity or friends. This idea, I'm going to chase the world and come back someday. You don't know if you'll come back or not. And if you do come back, you'll be dragging baggage with you. Why would you want to ruin that for God? God's got plans for your life. He's got a will for your life. He's got just the right girl and just the right man picked out for you. Why don't you wait on his business and his timing and quit doing God's job? This chasing the world business is, I don't think that God is pleased with that. Anyway, let me go on tonight because I haven't even got to any of my, hardly anything. And, I just want our families to be, God's got good things for you. Living life is hard. I get that. It's not easy. Listen, you think, well, preacher, you know what? Your kids are gone and you're a pastor of this great church. Your life is easy. Come help me sometime. But I don't understand where else am I going to go? Who else am I going to serve? What has nothing that is going to fill any of my, give me peace or joy? I'm just amazed sometimes at how quickly our flesh is so prone to wander. And I just know me. I know me tonight. If I wasn't serving God and in church somewhere and being faithful and trying to hear, listen to preaching and read in the book and prayer, I know I'd be just like every other idiot chasing worldly things and living carnal and ruining lives. And so that's kind of why I encourage you young folks to get plugged in. Quit living your life halfway in and halfway out, looking at the world and drooling after worldly things and thinking that they got their life made. They are, believe me, that time they are miserable. Right. And going to, do you want to join them in hell? Let me jump down. I've got a whole bunch of things. Let me jump down tonight. What is the evidence? What is the evidence of being a son of God? We find the requirements to be his son is to receive him and believe on his name. And so tonight, this morning, I just want to emphasize tonight, I'm not trying to preach anybody out of their salvation tonight, but if all you do is repeat a prayer and just make a light of it, you might not be saved. When I watch people get born again, they get an extreme conviction of their sin. Man, they just know I'm a sinner. I'm a scumbag. I'm filthy. I'm vile. We don't want to hear that anymore because we think as Americans that we're pretty good. We're pretty good. And, I'm not like the other guy. No, listen tonight. Your heart is wicked and desperately wicked and deceitful. It's full of lies and deceit. You can't trust your heart or who you are. And if you didn't have good godly parents or you didn't have God in your life, you would be doing something stupid tonight. Sinning and living a life of carnality. And so when you get born again, there has to be conviction. I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. And a cry out to God, Lord, I repent of my own belief and I need you, save me. Not just 1, 2, 3, Lord, save me. If all you do is a prayer, a little repeat of probably want to crack a prayer. And there's no desire to read the Bible, no desire to pray, no desire to live right, be his child. You probably got wet in the baptismal, but you didn't get saved. So, well, Christian, are you trying to talk? And I'm not trying to talk you up tonight, but if you're convicted now, you probably need to get born again. So we have to receive him. Receive him. By the way, show me, there's only one prayer in the Bible I find somebody praying to be saved, and that was that old publican. The one that Jude didn't like? And he said was, "Be merciful, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." He didn't go through a lot of stuff, but boy, he was convicted of his sin. He couldn't save himself. That old dirty man on the cross, next to Christ, that old dirty thief, he said, "Lord, remember me this day in the paradise." He didn't. He wasn't religious, but he got born again because he knew he was a sinner, needed a savior. And this idea, I think we got too many Baptist brats that think they're pretty good. It doesn't make any sense to me tonight. Even sometimes I'm talking to myself tonight, my own family. It doesn't make any sense tonight. People repeat a prayer, say a prayer, say I'm saved, but then they just go live their life without any thought of what God wants. And they chase the world so hard and so fast. It frustrates me a little bit. What frustrates me is I know that within me I'm capable of doing it as well. And so that's the frustrating part. When I see them, I see what my old flesh could do as well. And so then I'd encourage you young folks, don't be content with chasing the world. That is a dead end, lonely, destructive path to chase. And you just better wait on God and let God help you. So let's look tonight. Let's look tonight at the evidences of being a son of God. Number one is this. Oh, by the way, I put this in here tonight too. I better read it. Being a son of God is being a Christian and not doing Christian. Too many people are doing Christian but not being a Christian. What's the difference? Christian is something that you are, not something that you do. The Pharisees did religion, but they weren't religious. They did Christianity, but they weren't Christian. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people think they do Christians, but they're not Christians. And being born again, being God's son, is who you are, not what you do. He changes you from the inside out. Listen, if you are a Christian tonight, if you have a Christian standard for Sunday, and a different standard for Monday, you're probably doing Christianity. If you have a dress code for Sunday, but a different one for Monday, you're probably doing Christianity. If you have music for Sunday, and different music for a Monday, you're probably just doing Christianity. Yep. You know, if you've got two different lives. Well, I'm in front of church now. I'm in front of God's people. I've got to do a certain thing and dress a certain way and listen to a certain kind of music. But as soon as Monday comes, I have different friends and different kind of clothes and I got different music to listen to. You're probably doing Christianity, not being one. And tonight we need to be careful that we don't just do Christian, that we are Christian, that we are Christ-like. Because we're His sons. We're His children. Now, listen, look up here. Like, I know you're bored. Some of you have not been interested from the time I said amen to read the scriptures, and I'm not sure why. I know I've been here for 45 years, and all you hear is wah, 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 wah. But when I said one day you look back and say, I wish I'd have listened. He was preaching with his heart, preaching with God's word, and he loved me, and boy, I messed up not listening. Well, they don't. Listen, I thank God for my preacher, who sometimes he just would rail me. He just would get on, I mean, personally and from the pulpit. Remember sometimes I would come in not dressed appropriately, maybe not wrong, not appropriately in some things. He would say to me, don't ever wear that again to church again. I'm a grown man. I'm 20-some years old, a grown man. I walked in one day with a Mickey Mouse tie on. And he goes, there's nothing wrong. I don't think it's maybe right. Now I think it would be wrong. I don't have anybody, I don't understand why anybody would want anything Disney in their house or go to Disney World. They're too woke for me. They're so woke they got dead. But I had a Mickey Mouse tie on. He goes, are you an assistant pastor here? I said, yes, sir. He goes, don't wear that again. You're not a child. You're a man. Be a man. Yeah, he just would get in your business. If he saw I was treating my wife right, he'd get in my business. What kind of man are you? You know, I appreciate that. I didn't know what it was like at the time. But I appreciate it. You know, he told me straight out, if you don't want to do this, leave the church. Go somewhere else. Probably because he knows the only way I would sometimes listen. Some of you don't take hints very well, like I don't take hints very well. Had to be really blunt. Yeah? Some folks get it really easy, and I appreciate that, but there are a lot, some folks in our church, and some young folks in our church, you know, we got some young folks right now in the age where they know everything. Yeah, I love that because I remember it reminds me of myself. They know everything. And mom and dad, you know, somehow mom and dad just, you know, overnight got stupid. Yeah, it's like, you know, and all of a sudden I can fix mom and dad, and you can't fix anything. You do well to listen. Keep your mouth shut and just listen. And so sometimes you got to have folks that just get right. Here's where it's at. And so, don't do Christianity. Let's be a Christian. I pray God help me not just to do Christianity, but help me to be a Christian. I don't want to act like it on Sundays. I want to be a Christian. I want to be saturated with it. I want to soak through me where if I get, you know, let me tell you, you want to see if people are Christian or not, just bump into them and see what comes out. Right? If I'm carrying a glass of water or Pepsi or not milk, I don't care for milk too much, but coffee, and you bump me, coffee's going to come out of that thing, or Coke or Pep, whatever you drink, right? And so whatever's in you, you get bumped, what's going to come out? Well, I want Christianity to come out of me. You know, I always pray, God, help me to be a better gentleman, more kind to people, and more loving, compassionate, caring. So I hope he answers your prayer soon. I do too. I hope he does too. If it's not quick enough, then you pray, God help Pastor be a gentleman and kind and compassionate and not so mean sometimes. But by the way, it's good for men to be mean every now and then. And you can be a gentleman and be kind of be mean. And this idea of sissified men makes me sick. And we need toxic males and toxic females that just love God and love His Word and not be bent and pushed around and compromised to the world's stupid ideology and just love God, love the Word, live like it. And let it soak through you so that what comes out of you, so that you smell like a Christian. It smells like it seeps out of you. You know, you can smell it and hear it and smell like Christ and look like Christ and talk like Christ and act like Christ. Just seeps through you. And that's what the world needs tonight. And they might, listen, let's look at another scripture. I don't know why I'm going on all these roads. I've killed about a million rabbits tonight. And look at 1 John chapter 3. One thing nice about running rabbit trails, I can preach this next week and it'll be all new. I preach my notes. Look at 1 John chapter 3. The children of God are like their father. Children of God are like their father. 1 John 3 verse 1, it says, Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Boy, tonight that we would marvel like John did. Amazed that the Father of heaven, the Father of creation, He would allow us to be called the sons of God. That He gave us the power, the authority to become His son, to adopt us into His family. We're joined heirs with Christ tonight, and we have access to heaven and to the Father through Christ Jesus. We have been given the power, the right to be called the sons of God. It says in verse number 1, Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Knew Him not. You see, tonight that the children of God, the world's God, the believer's God, are not the same God. Not the same God. And God said this, if you are become His son, by receiving Him and through faith in Christ Jesus, you become His son, the world will not know you. The world will not receive you, not accept you. They're not going to like you. To them, you're going to be different. You're going to be peculiar. You're going to be odd. And that rattles us tonight. It rattles us. Because we really have this idea that you know, we want everybody to approve of us and like us. And we want to be validated through the world's approval. Well, God said, listen, if the world approves of me, look up here now. If the world approves of me and likes me and knows me, they're not serving my God. I'm serving their God. Right? Folks in the world knows me and approves me and it says, Hey, Ed, come in and join us. And be part of our group and take up with us. They don't know my God, but I'm serving their God. And God said this, if you're my child, you're my son, the world won't know you. This idea of wanting to have worldly friends and really entertainment and be approved by the world tonight come to a place in your life where it interests you none at all. You don't need their approval. You need to be validated by them. They don't know you. They don't love you. They don't know our God. They don't love our God. And so love your God and know your God and look for His approval in your life and Him and pleasing Him and not the world's God. Listen, there are people in my own family tonight that want nothing, very little to do with us. Does that bother you? It used to. Don't anymore. Because my God's bigger than their God. And their God hasn't helped them one bit. I just want to encourage you young folks tonight. We live in a world tonight that is so alluring. And they do it step by step. Little by little. It's not just one big leap. It's just little by little. Little changes. Little boundaries that are moved and pushed away. And they suck you in. And before you know it, the world knows you and God don't. And you know the world's God, but you don't know your God. Let me tell you something. If we're going to change a few things, it's going to be the world coming to know our God, not us knowing their God. Take some young folks tonight to get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ, and rather than chasing this silly, worldly stuff, why don't you preach Christ to the folks around you? want to live a godly life. I don't understand this thing. I don't understand young folks chasing unsaved people. Listen, I was a terrible teenager. I was terrible. But I knew one thing. I didn't want an unsaved girlfriend. I didn't want an unsaved girlfriend. You know what? And when my wife started dating, and I started dating, I was stupid. Yes, my mother-in-law, I was the dumbest teenage boy she's probably ever met in her life. I did a lot of dumb things. And if I could go back and change a few things, I'd be a lot better young man. But I'll tell you something. My wife and I talked, I told her I want to marry a Christian. And if that answer would have been no to either one of us, and she wanted to marry a Christian, well, she didn't want to get married at all. I convinced her that she needed to get married to me. And I convinced her mom to let me. Because she wasn't very happy for a while with this stupid teenager when I was young. I threw it away, but she wrote me a mean letter one time. Just chewed me out for being unkind to her daughter. Just really railed on me. Like, you know, probably needed it. But I'm not bitter about it. But I remember. I want to encourage you tonight. Listen, don't you young folks, look up here. Are you bored? Your head too heavy? Some of your head's really heavy. You got to hold it up with your hands. I know. You're just hearing it all again. Don't chase the world's God. Don't look for the world's approval. That validation. You said, you young men tonight, there's probably not very many in here that's single. And so I pick on you young ladies tonight. Welcome to the church tonight. Don't be looking for an unsaved boy or girl to validate you and who you are, how pretty you are, how much value you have. Let your dad do that. Let your dad do that. So God brings a man in your life that can do that properly. And if all he's cared about is your body, then keep on trucking, honey, because he ain't worth giving time of day to. Because when your body starts changing, as they all do, he'll find somebody else to chase, as most of the pigs do. You serve God, and don't be cared about if the world don't know you. It's all right. If God knows you, you know God, that's what's important. Son of God, what's the evidence? The world don't know who you are. And they'll say you're strange, you're cultish, you're Amish, you're Mennonites. But I don't think that in heaven we'll be dressing like the world dresses, living like the world lives. I don't think so. And you say, well, that's narrow-minded. Well, you show me otherwise where this could be worldly in heaven. In fact, God says this, that if we're his sons, that we'll be like him. Amen. We shall see him as he is, and we'll be like him. And he says this, and every man that has his hope purifies himself even as he is pure. So tonight I don't want to be like Jack Kyles or Keith Gomez or my friends Dan Woodward or Darren Tharp. I want to be like Jesus. I'm like Jesus. That'll be your tonight. You ought not chase these worldly fashions. I think it'll do us good sometimes as parents to turn the TV off and let our kids find new heroes to chase after and idolize and think highly of and tear down some of these idols we have in our homes, these pop singers and rap singers and country singers and Hollywood actors. They're the dumbest people in the world. We violate you. You get on the news every day, and I think that Fox News is stupid most of the time, but they always want to report what this guy's doing, what this guy's doing, what the Kardashians are doing. Who cares what the Kardashians are doing? Who cares? It's a bunch of white people acting stupid. I got one agreement anyway. Listen, you're more important than the Kardashians ever will be, that's for sure, and what they do. I don't mean that to be unkind, but I'd encourage you to turn the TV off tonight. Watch what movies you're listening to. Check your kids' cell phones. Check their music. Back when I was growing up, we had tapes. Some of you had reel-to-reel, so don't laugh at me. We had tapes. So we weren't dumb. We would take and we would fill that little indent in where you couldn't, you'd bump it out to stop you so you couldn't record over that. We'd put little hankies in there, tissues, put it in and record over that tape and put our own music on there so that the outside looked like Christian, but the inside was, don't look like you innocent, pious. You knew you snuck around too. So when you saw this little tape, it looked like, oh, he's got a Christian tape, but inside would be all the, you know, my parents, if you listen to rock music in my home, my parents would give you a spanking, but Alabama and Willie Nelson and Waylon and the Boys, they were okay. I'm not sure what the difference was, but they were okay. So that's what we grew up on. And we'd change those things and sneak around and have things hidden. And I told my boys when they got old enough, I said, your room's my room. What's in your room's mine. And I'm going to go in there. I just want you to know, I'm going to look through your stuff, under your bed, through your dresser drawers, in your closet, under the carpet, in the ceiling, wherever, I'm going to look everywhere. Your phone's my phone. Your computer's my computer. I'd encourage a young, listen, don't you trust your kid as far as you can throw them. Because kids will do what they can get away with, all of them, just about. And you'll be a happy day when you say, I don't trust my daughters or my sons. And did you trust yourself? What did you do when you were young? Well, forget that business. Anyway, tonight, my message has no theme. They call that a shotgun message. You start blasting and whoever yelps, you hit. So, yeah. Anyway. This week about becoming the sons of God. And boy, that just really touched my heart. He has given us the power, the authority, the right to become the sons of God. And that makes a difference. I'm his child. I want to be like my dad. Yeah. Amen. Well, then I come to you in closing. Thank you, Father, for your word this evening. And Lord, how good you've been to us, Father. And Lord, our flesh, my flesh gets in the way. And Lord, there are many times, Father, that in my Christian life, I just get so sick of myself. And Lord, my own temptation, my own flesh, and my own sin. Help us, I pray, dear God, not to realize who we are in Christ Jesus. We're the sons of God. May, dear God, you help us to be more like you. We pray in your name tonight. Amen.